summer baby bed. Brother runs in, feathers on his head.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Thursday morning. We really do appreciate it. So to come on the program, we have from the Federalist, Chris Bedford, and Congressman Steve Palazzo from our friends over just to the west in Mississippi. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But join us now. Very pleased to bring on State Representative Paul Lee. We had him on, I guess, about a month or two ago when we were in Dothan. But he's giving us some time here. We're very thankful for that. Good morning, Representative. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. It's a beautiful day here in Dothan at the moment, and I think it looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend for the Memorial Weekend.
Yeah, let's hope that holds together. But I think you're correct. Well, let's get a couple things I wanted to get into, and we'll kind of roll with this. But The legislature last week, sighty die, but one of the things on the way out, I guess, was establishing a restriction, perhaps, or I don't think it's necessarily a total prohibition against what are called vaccine passports. Now, you're the chairman of the House Health Committee, and I assume you had a lot of say in how this came together. But the final product, what are your thoughts on that, and really what precisely does this do when it comes to what it means for vaccine passports?
Well, I think the bill ended up exactly the way we wanted it to. Senator Orr talked to me about carrying this in the House. And before I did that, I'm going to run a large business. And my concerns are always those dealing with tying a business person's hand and restrictions on them. And I personally reached out to a couple of organizations that have tens of thousands of members, and FIB, Business Council of Alabama, those type, and asked them how do they stand, because I wanted to make sure that they were good with it on the business end, because it's preventing the business owner from having a passport or requiring someone to show they've been vaccinated prior to walking in the door. Not a problem at all. So I said, good. That's good, because I feel the same way as a business owner. And so the end product ended up being where the business owner cannot require a passport or any type of, or ask for any type of vaccination information, whether they've had a vaccine or not, before they receive their services. Not only that, it includes the state as well as local governmental entities that cannot prevent any services that are rendered to a taxpayer because they have not received the vaccine. So that's what it boils down to. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's kind of cut and dry. That's it. Here.
Is there, and I don't know that you would ever necessarily have this situation, but is there some kind of enforcement mechanism that makes sure that making the public aware, making these businesses aware? How is this implemented necessarily?
Well, I think if most business owners probably have some sort of connection, whether it's through the media or through organizations they're involved in, and they understand this. I've not heard this to be a problem in the state of Alabama, and it's more of a prevention than anything. So I don't think this is actually a problem, but you know, there are things that start on the West Coast that a lot of people in the state of Alabama doesn't agree with, and it starts on that end of the coast or that end of the country and works its way this way. There's been discussion about it in other areas, even at the federal level to a point. And, you know, not that we can override the federal government. However, there are several states that have implemented this, and if it were to ever come to a point that the federal government does, I'm quite sure that the more states that are involved in this, if it were to ever go to a Supreme Court or anything of that nature, that the more states that have implemented it will have or will carry more weight in some final decision. So that has a lot to do with it. I just think that the business owners today, they have hurt for so long. They can still mandate masks. They can even check and see if you have a temperature before you walk in the door. has nothing to do with that. There is absolutely nothing wrong with an employer keeping their employees safe. And those are mechanisms that they can use. It's just that they cannot use passport or to show that they've been vaccinated. And there are people that choose not to do that. Now, I would encourage everyone to go and get a vaccination. I did as soon as I became, qualified to do it. And I think it's a wise thing to do. But for those that choose not to, that's their choice. So they have to do business as well as I or anyone else that received the vaccine. So we don't want there to be any problem with that.
Are you surprised by the pushback on this, that it doesn't mean anything, or that it's just a hollow political gesture? Because at least my interpretation of what it is, it is, like you say, almost like a preventative measure, that it necessarily isn't a problem here yet, but as trends go sometimes that spread throughout the country, it could be.
Well, most cases, those people that are saying that certainly don't agree with the Republican agenda, for one, and or they get paid to say those things. So we have to keep that in perspective. And, I kind of felt it a little odd that many of those that choose not to get the vaccine are the ones that have been a little more vocal, and it hasn't been that extreme, to be honest with you, especially in our area. They're very supportive, but those that have been against it are the ones that, in most cases, have chosen not to get the vaccine. I just felt that was a little on the odd, strange side.
Yeah, well, I just it does seem like this seems to be all the talk about people not getting vaccinated or whatever. It does seem like, for the most part, the public's just kind of going along, accepting the advice of the medical professionals and going to get the vaccine. You don't really have this anti-vaccine movement that we're being told exists by these same people.
Mm-hmm. We're not seeing it. We, here in our area in the southeast corner, there are very few people that have just chosen not to get it for one reason or another. But for the most part in our area, people have been willing and want it, and we have done tens of thousands of vaccines in the Houston, Geneva, Bell County area, and the organizations that have been given it have been wonderful, made it accessible, very easy to get, and I think it's just a wise move, but that's a personal choice. So I have no remorse for those that have chosen not to do it, but also want to make sure that those that have chosen to do it are not dinged in any way. They can't do business with the local governmental entity, the state entity, or any other business.
Joined by State Representative Paul Lee here on the program. Representative, there's a lot of discussion about this, but I don't think it ever came to be, at least not yet. But taking a look at the way the state government had handled the whole pandemic and going back and either tweaking or wholesale rebuilding or whatever you think is necessary, do you think that is kind of around the corner here now, that we this seems to be more and more in the rearview mirror, that it's time to reevaluate some of the functions of the state government in situations like this?
That was a topic of discussion. You got to remember, this is what, once in 100 years? Is that what we've been dealing with? The last time was in the 19 teens. I'm not sure exactly what year, but I think that there could be some rearranging, some altering of how we address things as far as when we have a major pandemic like this, and it may become more regular. I don't know that. No one can see the future. I guess my thought, if I understood the question, about how we can alter some things in addressing shutdowns, if it ever comes to that, hopefully not, or state of emergencies, that type thing. It's very much like running business. When you're put in the heat of the battle, you make the best decisions that you can at the moment. And when the dust settles at the end of the time, you have to stop, sit back, and look, okay, was that a good decision? Could I have made a better one? Was it the wrong decision? And I've said this on several occasions, you know, once that happens, you're going to look back and say, gosh, that was a great decision. And then you're going to look at some and say, well, that really, really was not a good decision. It was a bad decision. However, that's where we take these opportunities and learn from them and prepare for the next one. And hopefully that'll be a long way from now.
Well, I suppose I'll ask that question, the way we choose our state health officer, that's been brought up. I think a lot of us learned what the state health officer, how it actually functions and who he is. But, you know, should it be picked by this board that does other things in government affairs? Or should it be appointed by the governor? Should there be a legislative role in this? What do you think? Is it at least a time to evaluate any of that?
I think it is, and I actually think that's going to happen. And there's a possibility that may be something that can be brought next session. My understanding is that these discussions will happen between now and next regular session, and it's a valid discussion. And I have to commend our Department of Public Health, Scott Harris, the way he's handled things. When he certainly didn't want to be thrown into this position, and I really think that this is a position that doesn't need to be political. It needs to. I want the facts. I want the true expert. That's who you go to when you have an illness or sickness. You don't go ask, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? You want the man that does the best job and with the problem that you have physically, or a woman that you have physically, to help deal with the health issue that you have. So those discussions, I think, will be happening, and I think there will be a review. And if there are any changes, I would fully expect that they will be addressed. So I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't happen.
And finally, we'll get you out of here on this medical marijuana. A governor signed that into law, Senator Melson's bill from up in Florence. You had offered up an amendment or two there, but what is your general takeaway from that now being something that's available in Alabama?
I believe that it was a wise move for it to be delayed almost 3 years that it's taken to get it passed. There was a tremendous amount of work that was put into it that tightened it up. With a transformation of this major of a law, there may be something that needs to be adjusted down the road that there was something missed. And I think the sponsor has made that perfectly clear that if there are any areas that need to be tightened or addressed, that he would be happy to bring it back. I was very pleased that the debate, very pleased that the due diligence that was done really over a 3-year period to get a product. There's very few people today that hasn't had a family member or a friend, close friend, or someone that was in a need that opioids were not the answer, that this could help them in a way that would carry on as normal of the life as possible. So I think there are a lot of people that are confused that, because I've had one or two to talk about it being white, you know, having people are going to be smoking marijuana and this and that and the other. Was no, that's not even the bill. You can't do that. It's going to be controlled. And I think that those that are saying, well, this is the next step to legalizing marijuana, well, it'll take a different group of legislators, I think, a totally different group, because this legislative body, and I think I can be fairly certain in saying in the Senate and in the House that is not on the table. That is not even a thought. The key was trying to get those that need help, pain control and that type of thing, because we know that it does help in certain situations, and we tried to pinpoint those areas to make sure that we have an availability of something that can help them. And if you've been around very long, opioids, I'm not sure which is worse. the opioid issue or the medical marijuana if it's controlled and done correctly. Opioids can destroy a family, can be hooked on it. It's just as dangerous. It's according to the to how it's prescribed and how it's used by the user.
Representative, we got to get out of here. We're up against a break, but thank you for your time, and I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Well, thank you. You as well, and just give a call anytime, and if I can be of any help, feel free to call.
We will do. State Representative Paul Lee, Chairman of the Health Committee of Dothan. But we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And the last time I walked in the swamp, I sat up on a cypress stump. I listened close and I heard the ghost